it's Amy, and welcome back to the Hallmarkies podcast. Today, we are talking about the fifth episode of When Hope Calls over on Hallmark Movies Now. And though we are missing our fearless leader, Rachel, today, she is out having fun and having some well-deserved time off at one of her movie showings. So, of course, we have our trusty Hallmarkies Hardy's sidekick, Cammie, is here with me today.
Hi, everybody. I'm a Hardy sidekick.
I don't know what that means, but it sounded good, so. Alrighty. you know, it's early in the morning. I don't know what I'm saying. But Cammie is here with me, and we're just going to talk about this fifth episode and see where our discussion takes us. All right. So let's just jump into it. Cammie, do you have some overarching thoughts about this episode? What was your, you know, overarching thought?
I loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved it. There was just enough that happened to make it a significant episode, but it wasn't horribly dramatic and there wasn't another fire. Mm-hmm. But this one, there was something special about it. I really, really liked it. And we kind of got the jealousy going with both guys.
You know? Yeah.
So it wasn't just one couple is jealous and the other one's going fine. No, everybody's a little wary of Mr. Sam. What's his name? Sam Tremblay? Tremblay, something like that, yeah.
In my notes, I just called him Sam the Cute Prospector.
Swing just about anything. I said in the tweet fest last night, I said, does that include his fists?
I don't know, maybe we'll see in the future.
Is he gonna start making trouble?
Who knows? Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think there was just kind of like something about this episode where like we saw so many different things about all the different characters, which I think was really cool. And this was like our really first like big ensemble episode, and it felt kind of like an episode of like those old like Step by Step or one of those old shows where like everyone's in the house at once. I was like, the whole town is gonna end up at the orphanage by this episode.
It's true though because all of the kids were there for the majority of the episode, and because of minor work laws, mm-hmm. you have to be careful about how often you use the kids, which mm-hmm. is hard in a setting that involves an orphanage and that is their home. But they've done a pretty good job of spacing mm-hmm. it out. But this one, everyone was there, and it made it really fun to see everyone there and to see them there as their family.
Yeah, so that just kind of gave it like a new essence, and I like this type of episode. I just really think it was a good place. Like, this was a good placement in the season for this type of episode.
Agreed.
Gotten to know the characters a little bit. And so now we're seeing them all kind of work together and come together a little bit more, which is really cool. Lillian is doing the laundry and the girls are playing Miss Mary Mac. And I'm just saying, I remember, I don't know if girls do it anymore, but I remember playing those hands, like Lemonade, Crunchy Eyes, and all those fun ones. What was the other one? Like My Boyfriend's Back or something? All those games when I was younger. And so that was like a little cute blast from the past. I don't know. I don't see girls. I work in an elementary school and I don't see girls playing those games anymore.
They all have devices, so they don't need hand games anymore.
Exactly. And I'm like, well, you know, the good old days when we played jacks and did the things. It's fun. So then the storm is coming. The storm is a brewing.
And they didn't take the laundry down.
I know. I was like, you're realizing it's just going to get wet again. I'm like, that's not going to help. Like, go hang it up in the house, like, or under the porch. I'm like, you can hang it out under the porch. So at least it might get a little dry, but anyways.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great foreshadowing of the storm that's coming to the orphanage, but then you don't take the laundry down. So, getting rained on.
Yeah. They're just going to ruin your clothes, but okay. Yeah.
They didn't want to spend time on it.
Yeah, exactly. That was a cute little scene. They're all getting into the house. And then after that, it shifts to Grace at the hotel. There's one customer, and let me tell you, he's a harsh critic. What do you think?
Oh, my word. The meat is too raw. The pie is too tart. The coffee is too strong.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, you don't like it. And I think what Grace said was, like, kind of appropriate, like, because he was kind of being high maintenance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was trying also to lighten the mood, but obviously he was not having any of that. You know, we've got the Tin Man here, no heart.
She was trying to do it in like kind of a humorous nature, lighten the tension, and he was like, no, I'm not going,
not having anything of it. But one great thing that came out of that scene is we finally found out how they get their funding. Government stipend. Mm-hmm. She said it. Rachel's going to love that if she's already seen the episode, because we've been talking about that. We said, how are they getting their funding? What funding? And I haven't been able to talk to my sister-in-law because she's on vacation with my brother in England for their 25th wedding anniversary. So I was like, how is that gonna work? Because my sister-in-law's Canadian. But now we know, government stipend. Bingo.
I was just kind of assuming that just because
the
time period, and I know Canada was pretty established at that time period and everything. So I mean, minus the fact that again the show is ignoring World War I, but because I'm pretty sure it's still World War I is going on, so there might have been some other issues with that stipend and stuff, but you know, critic. And Chuck comes in and is, you know, trying to be all like buddy buddy with her, and she's kind of giving him the cold shoulder a little bit, like
a little bit, but not as much as I thought she would. I thought that she was going to be a lot colder, but I, you know, Chuck says, you got room for one more, and she said, yeah, sit down. So it looks like things are okay.
Yeah.
And then he immediately says, I looked for you at the party. He's a smart man. Mm-hmm. I've been married for 11 years. So trust me, that man is a smart man. He just goes immediately to, hey, I wanted you there. I looked for you. You were gone. That made me sad. Very smart man.
He was just upfront about everything. So she knows. So she goes back and she finds out, dun, dun, dun. The harsh critic is the inspector.
Joy.
Really. So, unfortunately, now this guy that she kind of insulted because he didn't really seem to have much of a sense of humor was going to be inspecting her orphanage. And it kind of seemed like he already had a little bit of an attitude toward her when she said her name. So he'd already had like a preconceived assumption about her. So that was unfortunate. Bad timing.
There was a lot of bad timing in this episode.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Because then when you go back to house, oh, great, there's a leak.
And then the floor, and then the ceiling fell.
Yeah. So like they're just not having the best of luck. It's just like one thing after another. So there's the leak, and the ceiling falls in the girl's room, and it's just, that's a whole mess. And apparently beforehand there'd already been shingles that had fallen off the roof. So this was like kind of coming.
Yeah.
They were prepared. They'd ordered the shingles. So that's
But if you remember, they couldn't pay for all of them.
All of them, yeah.
So I thought that entire scene, I hope I'm not jumping ahead too much, but that entire scene was just adorable. Mm-hmm. With the three guys. It was just the three guys. And so RJ, Greg, and Jefferson, so sorry for calling you adorable, but it just was. It was just an adorable scene that Joe is saying they can't pay for it, and Gabe says, what, you're not gonna extend credit, help them out? No, I did, but they won't take it, which mm-hmm. shocker, they won't take charity. And then Chuck says, I'll pay for it, and then Gabe says, how are they gonna afford a roofer? It just, the whole scene was just adorable.
Yeah,
guys,
that kind of gave like a little bit of a like an insight too to just the guys like attitudes and how they like care for other people and care for others in the town and stuff, and that was really cute. And
and the two girls,
how they specifically care about the girls. All right, so getting back to the leak. After the leak, I believe this is right after the leak, we have a man with a beard coming up to the, what is now the infirmary, I would call it, yeah. Which used to be the prospecting office, is that the correct terms?
How do you say it? The gold ASA office, something like that?
So at first I was like, oh, is this just like a random gold miner that found a couple pieces of gold and was trying to come to the closest town to cash it out or something, and surprise, it's an infirmary instead. But we get a lot more about this this guy. So first thing he does is kind of intimidate someone who's trying to steal an apple from the general store.
Oh, that character was bad news. Anyway, yes, trying to steal an apple from Joe.
And I'm like, it's an apple. Pay the 2 cents. I'm like, okay. And I don't know where this guy got off thinking like, ooh, I'm a bad guy because I stole an apple.
Oh my gosh, yes. It's a free sample. But you know what I loved? And probably I'm going to say this because I'm short. I'm only 5'3", but I loved the fact that Sam was shorter than the guy.
Yeah.
He was shorter than the guy, but he just stared him down and he had a very intimidating presence.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy backed down. And, you know, like I said, does the experience of swinging include the fists? I wondered if he was going to take a swing at him.
Yeah. And I think also with, like, the beard and everything, like, this other guy was looking at him like, what has this guy been through?
Scary.
Yeah, exactly.
What did he say when he shaved? He said, I guess it's time to stop scaring the bears or something like that.
Yeah. I'm like, well, yeah, you might scare off a bear with the facial hair. Oh,
I tweeted Marshall Williams, the actor who played Sam. I tweeted him and I said, did you actually grow that? Or was that a wig? I'm still waiting for an answer because I really want to know. Did he grow that or was that a wig?
That is, if he did, that is real dedication to the character right there. Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
All right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Then a little bit later, we see the apple stealer again, but he's coming out of the hotel. He bumps into Tess. Tess is like, kind of like, watch where you're going. And she goes in and finds Ronnie on the floor, you know, slowly getting up with blood on his face. So.
And he says, no police.
Yeah. So it's a little sketchy there. So we've seen before that Tess and Ronnie talking about, you know, well, we don't know what Gabe's going to find out type of thing. So this is like another piece of that puzzle to what he's going to find out, maybe.
I also think that Ronnie has been portrayed as the bumbling uncle, but that scene by itself really shows there's a much more serious side to his character, to his whole presence in the town. It's not as much of the comic relief as we thought.
Yeah, so he does have a past. So he says, no, please. He doesn't want to go to the infirmary. So Tess goes over and asks Maggie, I almost called her Molly, Maggie, to come to the hotel. And that's when there's different stories given. It was like, oh, he fell. And then he was like, I ran into a door or something, or a wall.
Yeah.
I like, what force would you have to run, walk into a door to break your bones?
Pitch black in the middle of the night and running at full speed.
Yeah. Like, so, or like someone would have to literally like just whack that door at your face. It just, I don't think Maggie was believing it, but at the end of the day, she did a job as a nurse and being like, all right, I'm not going to ask all the questions. Not my job.
And did you love how she said, meat has bacteria? Immediately drops the meat. Like, well, now it has bacteria. It's all over the floor.
Yeah. I'm like, you probably, like, I've seen people put meat on their face, but, like, there's, like, a towel or something between it because you're not supposed to put it directly on your face. And I'm thinking, like, where's the bag of frozen peas? But I was like, oh, wait, it's 1916. There's no bag of frozen peas. yeah.
And this was such a little thing, but I absolutely loved it. Maybe because I just love the way British people speak. But the fact that she just said, apologies. You know, she didn't say, I apologize. She didn't say, my apologies. She just said, apologies. And I just loved the way she said it. And she's going about the whole setting process. Yeah. and the examining process. And she just, you know, she doesn't even stop. She just says, apologies, and keeps on going.
And my whole thing with that, too, is he goes like, oh, I need to go to the hospital down in, I don't know where he said.
Clearwater.
In Clearwater. And she's like, no, just hold on to your chair or something along those lines. She's like, I can do it. What are you talking about? You don't need to go to a hospital.
And then everybody on the street stops and turns toward the hotel. That must have been a pretty loud Holy Hannah.
Yeah. I was like, oh my goodness. But like in a small town, you like, even like on streets, like when something happens or something super loud, everyone else will like be like, what
just happened?
Yeah. But I just think that was really funny how everyone just kind of stopped. So then we have, I think this is before the roofing. Yeah. Maggie's walking down the boardwalk and Gabe asks about what she was doing in the hotel. And, you know, he gets a little suspicious. He's like, Ronnie broke his nose doing what? And didn't she say something, Maggie said this, something along the lines of like, well, it depends who you ask what happened.
Yes.
Which is funny because that's kind of like the addest, like when, you know, you're hurt and you're embarrassed about what happened to you. Now, necessarily in this case, like obviously it was something bad and that's why he didn't want to tell what had happened. But when you hurt yourself and it's something embarrassing that you did to cause the injury, you don't want to tell the truth. And so like there's kind of stories you tell. I remember I dislocated my knee. I fell. I literally tripped and fell on concrete and dislocated my knee. Yeah.
Ow.
And when this had happened, I was a dancer at the time. When I went to physical therapy, like everyone around me for my knee was, you know, an injury for football or an injury for baseball or gymnastics or whatever. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is a dance injury. That's what I told everybody. Because I wasn't going to say I was literally walking to my locker. I tripped and but yeah, very relatable of like, if you got a little injury in an embarrassing way, you might want to say it differently or someone else might give a different story. Because of course my mom went around and told everyone like, yeah, my daughter fell and she just So, but Gabe is getting suspicious at this point a little bit, like, oh, what? He broke his nose? Okay, whatever. So I'm pretty sure after that scene, we just go into the general store with Joe.
The one
about. Yeah, with the shingles. And it that, again, like we said earlier, that was just a really, really cute, heartfelt scene. And that the boys were willing to, one, Chuck was willing to pay for it and just willing to help out was really great. Oh, I skipped over the part where Sam goes to the house, goes to the orphanage.
Right.
So Sam, for the price of a meal, as a thank you from Joe, does the delivery to the orphanage. When he gets there, you know, Lillian's a little flustered. The inspector's there. There's a hole in their roof. And so she asks him, she's like, hey, can you swing something? Like, can you swing a hammer? And he's like, yeah, there's a lot of swinging that I can do. I was like, okay. Oh, yeah.
And if we could go back just a tiny bit further with the cookies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Did that remind you of the episode in season 2 of When Calls the Heart with the two chicken fried steaks? Rosemary's chicken fried steak that looked perfect and Elizabeth's chicken fried steak that looked awful. And
yeah.
Mr. Andrews did not make the noble choice. He tried to do a little bit of a, oh, it's so hard to decide, but he went after Helen's cookies. But the problem was, it wasn't fair to poor Sophia, because she said, what about my cookies? I don't want to leave them. And Eleanor said, I'll take them out. Then Eleanor got distracted by the arrival of Mr. Andrews, and then they burned. I felt really bad for Sophia.
That whole situation was just an accident. So
yeah. And then Helen rubbed it in her face, you know.
Yeah, which wasn't nice.
He likes my cookies better.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know what? What do you think about it? Like, these kids aren't actually siblings. So I'm like, there might be, like, a different type of tension between them all. But, I mean, they're arguing just like any kids would. But,
yeah, but a lot of position, you know, because Helen was saying, I'm the oldest, I should speak for us when he comes. Yeah, a lot of position. Yeah.
And also, from where they came from, if they were being in different orphanages, for all they know, they don't know if they're ever going to see these other kids again. So that can also, I think, add to maybe their arguments a little bit or something, because maybe there's not as much of a, well, it doesn't matter if we don't like each other anymore because we're never going to see each other again type of thing. Because I think the whole argument with the locket was a little bit over the top. I mean, but then again, what, she's preteen girl, so.
And it's all she has left of her mother, so that's a big reason. Mm-hmm. And you know that I have that in my notes. I said the girls are fighting right now, really,
like like
the inspector is here.
Lillian and Grace cannot catch a break in this episode.
No, they cannot. But I also found the juxtaposition of putting the storylines of Sophia being suspected of stealing the locket with Grace being suspected of stealing the $200. I thought that was a great juxtaposition. Mm-hmm. One other thing before we move on. Tess driving the car and Ronnie teaching her how to drive. So I said, what's she gonna hit? You know?
Yeah.
Who's the better or who's the worst driver? I tweeted that. Mm-hmm. Who's the worst driver, Rosemary or Tess?
I'm like, oh, she's gonna run someone over that's crossing the street, or like a dog or something. Like, frightened.
Ronnie's mopping his brows. My neck says otherwise, you know.
I know, I'm like, is this is like the first case of whiplash in an accident?
And Ben, the feed store owner, is like, no, these are terrible machines. You don't want these, you know.
Like, I can get you a pair of horses for a lot cheaper than better. Which I thought was funny. And then Hal, she's like, well, can you give her a quick crank? And she's like, no, you gotta really put your back into it. Oh, that was just busting that whole scene.
I know. I know. Oh my word.
Yeah. So I think at this point, so the inspector's in the house. Grace sees Sam working on the house and pulls Lillian aside, is like, that is that a great idea? He doesn't look like he should be around children.
We have a complete role reversal.
Yeah.
Completely switch roles. Lillian does the impulsive thing. She does the wild thing. She just says, yeah, you're hired. And Grace is the one saying, we don't know him. We don't know anything about him. We should check with him. He needs to clean his face if he's going to stay. That is such a Lillian thing to do.
I know, right? I just like think at this point, Lillian was so flustered with everything else going on that she's like, you know what? Yeah, like, we just need to get this fixed. I don't care who does it. Like, but that was cool to see Grace kind of take on that, like, responsible. Not that she wasn't responsible before, but, like, more of a responsible, like, Lillian, should we think about this more? Yeah, especially when Lillian's, like, the older sister figure, but Lillian's kind of, but Grace is kind of schooling her a little bit.
that little interchange, you hired the vagrant? It's a prospector. Prospecting vagrant? just that tiny little interchange was so hilarious. They have a lot of great sister moments in this series. I have found all 5 episodes have some really amazing sister moments. I don't have a sister. I grew up with 5 older brothers. And so, yeah, it was an interesting life, I promise. So seeing these sister moments, because I have 2 girls and 2 boys. And so seeing what my girls have to look forward to, hopefully, fingers crossed, when they become adults, I really love seeing that the whole them becoming sisters and friends as adults since they did not grow up together.
Yeah, I have, I'm the middle child of 2 boys. I have 1 on each end, so so you know, but I'm also the only girl, so you know, you probably got some special treatment from your parents as well for being the only girl.
yeah I did, but I also got dumped on a lot.
yeah my brother's favorite things are to tackle me, and yeah, all those other fun things that boys do. But yeah, their sisterly moments and their little bit of role reversal, I think, was really cool in that that scene. And so then Lillian kind of trying to and Grace trying to encourage him in like a nice way of like, oh yeah, we have hot water.
I wrote it down. Lillian says, neat, trim, tidy, clean. She used all 4 of those words, and he just was not getting the hint. I wanted to say, dude, wake up. He finally got it, but yeah, he was just not taking the hint.
So then the boys show up, and they're
with the little pretend hat tipping. That was RJ Hatanaka, that you won a lot of people over with that tiny little maneuver. Good for you.
Yeah. So they're coming in, and the girls are like, well, Sam is working on it. Maybe he needs some help. And both of them are like, Sam? Who's Sam?
I love the look on Chuck's face, on Greg Hovsepian's face. It was classic. Wait, what?
And then, of course, when they meet Sam, he walks out and he's completely like clean shaven, and he looks like this very handsome man. And the girls are both like, kind of like, wait a second.
that's Sam. That,
yeah.
At a complete loss for words. Yeah. They're both kind of, you know, trying to and over to get the eyes back on them. Hello, Lillian. Hi.
Yeah. Oh, hi there. You're there. Hi. This is very, very funny. Very, very cute.
Oh my gosh.
And then in one of the scenes, okay, so then after this, I believe, is when Lillian talks to the inspector. And the inspector accuses Grace of stealing money, of running away. Well, she did run away from a lot of orphanages, but of just not being of good character to be around the children. And this kind of takes Lillian aback, because I believe, at least, though Lillian does love her sister, at the end of the day, they didn't know each other growing up. and they haven't been around each other for that long at this point as adults. So all Lillian knows, maybe Grace did take the money.
She has no clue.
Yeah, she doesn't know. And like he said, like, you're the one who found her. They didn't.
And even though there was that situation, she still stood up for her. Mm-hmm. I wrote it down because I loved what she said. Andrew says, she doesn't seem like she's the best. She's not the best partner. She is the perfect partner. Mm-hmm. Just boom, boom, boom. she socked it to him.
She's like, don't mess with my sister.
Yeah, even though she's completely unsure, she's a little taken aback, she knows that it probably didn't happen because she does trust her sister. But just the revelation of that happening was very unsettling.
Yeah.
But still, she goes right past that and says she is the perfect partner.
Yeah, that was great. And I like that, the way they stick up for each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then after this, I'm not sure if it was right before this or right after this, but the girls are walking on around the house on the porch. And this was just a little side note. I noticed that there was this gorgeous old timey pram on the porch.
Thing. It's before it. It happened because I wrote down, why the baby carriage? I saw that and I just went, oh my gosh, there's a baby carriage walking around.
And I'm thinking, oh, maybe it was Lillian's and they just didn't have any place to put it. Or I'm like, is this foreshadowing? Are they going to get a baby from the government? Because that would be fun.
That would be a lot of fun. Or is it just a prop to make it look
old-timey? Yeah. Yeah, but I just thought, oh, there's this gorgeous pram that they're just walking by. I'm like, So they have a pram if they get a baby. Like, I mean, they're prepared. Yeah. So, yeah, that was just something I noticed from that. Chuck and Gabe are jealous at this point. They're
the talking that they do with Sam. Oh, my gosh.
Like, you should not overstay your welcome.
Definitely not. And the thing that I thought was really great, you know, when Gabe tries to pick up the shingles and it hurts his arm where he got shot, thank you very much. But Sam doesn't know that, but he says, my dad had a saying, suck it up, buttercup. I'm like, you punk. I mean, that was really, but the big thing was, Gabe could have been severely insulted by everything that Sam was saying. He's saying, suck it up, buttercup, about the shoulder where he got shot. And then he's like, well, it's a good thing you're a Mountie because you would never have a future as a roof mender or something like that. I mean, he could be seriously insulted and take a swing at him, but he's laughing everything off. Good on you, Gabe.
Yeah. So Sam's a little rude. A little bit of an attitude.
But, I wonder if he's getting territorial. Like, I have to stay.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So then the inspectors found out about the hole in the roof and everything, and, you know, he's getting on them at this point. And then the girls are fighting in the living room.
Again.
And he overhears, and he's like, well, what is on. And I kind of like how Grace and Lillian at that point were like, okay, we need to focus on the girls, and kind of were like, you know what, dude, just be quiet, please.
Lillian was a little bit more diplomatic about it. Yeah. Grace said, not now. Yeah. And Lillian says, we will answer all of your questions after we've dealt with the needs of the children. I'm like, oh, smooth. Smooth move, girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And these girls are arguing. They're fighting about the locket. She's accusing Sophie of stealing it. And, you know, the girls, I feel like, did a really good job of kind of calming the situation a little bit with the girls, which I think was good. And then, you know, we do eventually find out that it was a mistake. Helen, it had gotten caught on Helen's clothes, and, you know, it was just a little oops, not worthy of an accusation.
I want to put a plug in for the girls acting, the little girls. I don't know Helen's real name. I'm going to look it up really quick. But Kate Moyer, who plays Sophia. And then I'm about to get it. Here it comes. Riley O'Donnell. Riley, just both of them did a really great job with the fighting scenes and with the turf scenes.
Yeah.
And then with the forgiveness scene. You know, when Lillian says, Sophia, why don't you help her put it on? I was like, whoa. Oh, that's because Sophia could have said no.
Exactly.
And that was a very bold and wise move on Lillian's part to ask Sophia to put it on. But then Sophia just very gently puts it on, and Helen is, you know, she's eating humble pie at this moment. Mm-hmm. Moves her hair, and then Sophia finishes pulling out the braid, and I just thought, wow. So Riley and Kate, if you're listening, you girls did a fabulous job with all of those scenes. Nice
They
work.
Really did. They did a great job. This little attitude, I think the inspector gets a little bit of a sense of how they work with the kids a little bit more, and how both of them are really kind of needed, because they're both different type of women helping the children out. And I think that was a very good point for him to see that, to see them working this out and assisting them. I think that was a good thing for him to have seen.
I remember thinking, is it a good thing or a bad thing that he just got brushed off?
Because he could have misconstrued it. He could have been like, oh, well, they don't take enough care for, you know, the seriousness of the situation or something. Something like that.
One thing that Grace says that is really profound: sometimes it's easier to fear the worst in each other than to believe the best. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, wow, that's profound right there.
And I think Chuck said to Sam, like, oh, say goodbye to Grace for me or something along those lines.
Oh my gosh, that point right there. I said, wow. There's no bones about who he's concentrating on at this orphanage. He says, say goodbye to Grace for me.
Whoa. Okay. I personally was like, I would have gone and said goodbye to her myself.
I would have too, but I think that in a way it was almost like Chuck marking his territory. Like, Grace alone.
Yeah, exactly. Gabe wasn't as forward.
Did you see how reluctant his handshake was?
Mm-hmm.
Sam sticks out his hand, and he's this blonde Adonis going, hey! He sticks out his hand, and Gabe just looks at it for a second, and I almost thought he wasn't going to shake it.
Yeah. But
then he did. He did the right thing, and he took the hand and gave him a very, very firm handshake.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a little bit more firmly than
necessary. Then we're jumping to the scene where Grace sits down with the inspector and basically says, like, if I have to leave to make this place still be approved or something, I will.
That scene came right before the locket is found.
Oh, wow. I'm way out. But of course, Inspector decides that, you know, they're all good. So
now you're jumping to the end. So.
Yeah, I don't know where I am at this point, but they're all good. They kept their license.
I thought that was incredibly noble of Grace.
Mm-hmm.
If it's between me and the kids, I'm gone.
Just, yeah.
Oh wow.
Because it just kind of really showed how much those kids mean to her. And Lillian to an extent as well.
And then Lillian stands up to Andrews and says, we are a team, we are indivisible. And Grace even tries to tell her to back off, which is another Grace thing to do. They did another role reversal, and no, I can't do this by myself. Does impertinence run in this family? You know?
Thankfully they get to keep their orphanage, but it kind of seemed to me as he was leaving, it was kind of like, but we're still going to kind of keep an eye on you.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we may be seeing some inspector interference later on in the future someday, who knows.
He came right out and said, if there's one more problem because of the checkered history, I'm going to shut you down.
Yeah, so they got to be careful.
Yeah, they got to be very careful. I would not be the least bit surprised if he showed up in another episode, even this season.
Yeah, yeah.
When the job is over and Chuck says, do you need a ride? And, no, I'm staying. You know, the whole territorial thing. And then Chuck says, lucky you. Eleanor is a fine cook. I'm like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good one.
That's exactly why Chuck would want to stay over. Was because of the cooking.
And we see in the preview for next week that he does stay. Oh my word. Next week's episode looks really exciting. And I don't know if you caught this, but in the opening credits, Kevin McGarry's name was in the credits. And so I thought, oh, he's going to be in this episode. And then he wasn't. Mm-hmm. So they put his name in the episode just a little early. And so then he's coming in next week.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun to watch. That's going to be really fun to watch, watching the Mounties
interact
and work together. And I don't know this for certain, but I'm wondering if Megan Follows, who played Anne Shirley all those years ago so brilliantly, I think that she directed next week's episode.
Okay. Yeah.
Because
so, that'll be cool.
I am so excited for that, you know.
Yeah, so I think we pretty much covered the entire episode at this point.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. If you want to check us out, we're Hallmarkies Podcast all over social media. Cammy, where can people find you on the interwebs?
So on Instagram and Twitter, it's at Cammy Drama Girl, and that's K-A-M-I. And then on Facebook, I have the Hooked Hardy page, and that's Hardy with an I-E. And then my blog is hookedhardy.com.
All right, awesome. So you can find me on Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter at It's Amy Craig. And again, thank you guys so much for listening to the episode. We're Hallmarkies Pod or Hallmarkies Podcast all over social media. And if you're watching this on YouTube right now, because you can see our beautiful faces, please subscribe. We really want to hit 1,000 subscribers by the end of the year. So if you could help us out with that, that would be amazing. Go check out Hallmarkies Podcast Network on Patreon and go see what we have over on our Teespring, because we have some pretty cool new designs up for the winter season, and it's really exciting. But yes, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you guys very soon. Bye, guys.
Bye.